It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission passed new open internet rules that are poised to allow for more regulation of internet service providers. The vote follows a long battle over whether the FCC can call the shots when it comes to how fast you get internet as it comes through companies like Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon. Many see that vote as a big win for small internet businesses and customers, but this ain't over. Susan Crawford, co-founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society.
So we have the vote, and we have some public statements from the commissioners. We don't have the text of the order. It'll come out when all the commas have been fixed, and there's no promise as to where that's going to be.
Okay.
And then after that, the rules become effective. Then we get briefs, then an oral argument in probably the fall of 2015, and a decision next winter.
It's only a year.
Nothing. And we are just at the beginning of the history of the internet, and the fact that it's going to take a year to resolve is of no consequence.
To anyone except those of us who live human lives. The way that this has played out, it's almost felt like the FCC is doing Title II as a last resort. Doesn't that suggest in some ways that Title II is not as strong as the FCC says it is?
The reason the FCC has been shying away from this is political. They don't want to be subject to the kind of intense lobbying pressure you're seeing now, where the carriers will march on the Hill and demand that the FCC be defunded for presuming to act like a regulator.
Harvard's Susan Crawford. Chip and PIN credit cards, it seems like they're everywhere, but here in the U.S. They're coming, though, thanks to the massive Target hack. October is the industry deadline for the arrival of credit cards that promise an added layer of financial security for the user. But new data suggests companies are not on target to meet the deadline, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Credit card companies have set an October deadline for getting the new cards to consumers, but a new survey from creditcards.com finds only 3 in 10 U.S. cardholders now has a chip card. Analyst Matt Schultz says even fewer retailers can read them.
Banks and retailers are definitely cautious when it comes to spending the money to make this investment.
That cost $25 to $30 billion, says Mallory Duncan at the National Retail Federation, and maybe not worth it.
The new cards, there's actually more hype than hope.
See, Europe adopted chips in cards years ago, but there you also have to enter a PIN, which is really secure. Here, all that's required is an easily forged signature. Why not use the more secure chip and PIN?
You'll have 4 or 5 different PINs on your credit cards. It makes it tough.
David Robertson at the Nielsen Report says card companies worry we'll forget all those PINs and just stop using their cards. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
It's Silicon Valley time. Today, we've got a special guest, Leo Laporte. He's host of the radio show The Tech Guy and also the man behind the This Week in Tech podcast and network. Today, though, he's my cunning adversary. Leo, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am indeed, and I'm so excited about this.
Okay, good. I got something for you.
Okay.
12.3 carats.
Going to be a diamond, going to be a big diamond.
This is a luxury item that is on the way that goes not on your finger, but on your wrist.
Ah, that's the amount of gold in the Apple Watch. Is that correct?
This week, Brick, it's a company that sells customized tech gadgets, announced it will offer luxury Apple Watches. The most expensive will be gold-plated and set with diamonds totaling 12.3 carats. What's that going to set you back? What do you think?
Oh, it's got to be 80 grand, right? What is it?
Wow, you're so good. $74,995.
I'd be overpaying, then.
All right, what do you got for me?
353,500,000 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
Uploaded
YouTube content?
It's the amount of time United States drivers spend every day in their car.
Ooh.
And the reason this is interesting is it might be a rationale for Google to do self-driving cars, because that's 101 more minutes you could spend on the internet. Google could make as much as $4.21 billion a year additional if people would stop driving and spend more time on the net.
All right, I got something for you. You ready?
Yeah.
22 Atari games.
This isn't the Google computer that teaches itself how to play.
Yes, sir. Deep Mind. Google's artificial intelligence group has developed software that can outplay humans on 22 Atari games, including Space Invaders. Were you an Atari guy?
Oh, you bet. That's how I got into computers.
No way.
If this Google computer had been around then, I don't know. I might be doing something else. All right, I have a number. One last number for you.
Hit me.
How about this? 6%. It's a percent of revenue.
Oh, man. I don't know.
The amount of revenue YouTube contributes to Google's overall sales.
Oh.
That means YouTube is just about breaking even. It does not make money for Google.
Who would have thought?
I would have thought YouTube would be the shining star.
That's what we're all doing, right?
We're not watching TV.
They should have figured out a way to monetize that by now. I waste enough time there that you'd think. But, you know, I guess these things are a challenge. Leo Laporte, he's the host of the podcast This Week in Tech. Leo, thank you so much for playing along, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
You can play our special listener version at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.